Before we start walking, I want to give you an orientation to the area we'll be visiting. Here in Chinatown, we see many different layers of historical development, from the Dutch colonial era of the 18th century to the rough-and-tumble tenement days of the 19th century to the heavy-handed urban redevelopment of the 1950s, up to the present-day rebirth of the district as a popular tourist destination. The churches in particular provide clues about the people who have lived here over the years. Many of the faiths of Europe are represented, including Catholic, Jewish, Baptist, Presbyterian, Dutch Reform, and Greek Orthodox. In the 20th century, Buddhist temples sprang up. The earliest inhabitants date from the colonial era, when Dutch farms were carved up into home sites for wealthy citizens during a prosperous period for this country following the Revolutionary War. Beginning around the time of the Civil War, this neighborhood gradually went downhill and became known as the Five Point Slums. The stately old homes were replaced with crowded tenement buildings to house a large wave of immigrants coming from Europe. It was a hard life for the immigrants in these slums. Without much police presence, there was a remarkable amount of lawlessness and gang warfare in the streets. When the Irish arrived here in the 1840s and 1850s, driven from their homeland by famine, they formed gangs for protection, and in response, the original inhabitants formed native gangs to protect their turf. Some of the most famous gangsters from back in the day include Irishman Paul Kelly and Boss Tweed, Jewish racketeers Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel, and Italian mobsters Lucky Luciano and Al Capone. The American mafia that survives to this day has its roots in ethnic Italian street gangs who work the streets of Five Points. Robert De Niro grew up in Little Italy and no doubt learned from the best how to play a gangster. But don't get the wrong impression. This neighborhood has always been a home and way station for the respectable lower classes, poor, hard-working, God-fearing immigrants, and many freed slaves, who probably had a harder life than most immigrants. Some great Americans have come from these streets, including Al Smith and Jacob Riis. I'll say more about them during the tour. Sadly, little remains to be seen of the many fancy theaters, dance halls, saloons, and cheap amusements that once enlivened the neighborhood at the turn of the century. These have been replaced by Chinese restaurants, food markets, and souvenir shops. Chinese started arriving in the U.S. in significant numbers in the mid-1800s, lured by the California Gold Rush and jobs building railroads. Spurred by a violent anti-Chinese movement in the West and the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad, some of the immigrants headed east. By the 1870s, the Chinese population of this neighborhood grew to more than 2,000. Excluded from other jobs, many Chinese ran chop suey restaurants and souvenir shops, and some of them ran opium dens and houses of prostitution. An internal political structure comprised of the Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association, various tongs, or fraternal organizations, managed the opening of businesses, provided medical services, made funeral arrangements, and mediated disputes. The An Liang and Hip Sing tongs warred periodically during the early 1900s, waging bloody battles that left both tourists and residents afraid to walk the streets of Chinatown. After World War II, with immigration policies loosened, the Chinese population grew steadily to 20,000 by 1965, and the ratio of men to women gradually stabilized. Then, in 1968, the U.S. government increased the immigration quota for China, and Chinese flooded into the country from the mainland. Chinatown's population exploded, expanding into Little Italy, with wealthy Chinese buying buildings with cash and turning them into garment factories and office buildings. Today, when you get outside of the touristy core, the neighborhood still looks and operates sort of like a slum. Many of the poorer residents live crammed together in run-down tenements, with up to 15 people occupying a two-room apartment. But it doesn't seem to hurt the rents, which are steeper than what you find in other working-class neighborhoods in the city. Now let's dive in and start the walk.